Begin the current daf, Masech the Shavu is daf Yotes. Begin 6 lines down from the top of the Yamin. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is the Gemara had asked, what was the difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva? We had 4 different opinions in the Mishnah regarding what is the halacha for Yediyas HaTumah. And that is the Tanakama, which was the opinion we had assumed up until now, which was the title of our opening up our Masechta regarding the title of this parak, Yediyas HaTumah, Shnaim She'en Arba, the 2 that are really 4. There is the 2 that are written in the Torah of lapse of awareness regarding Tumah, both in regards to Kodesh and Mikdash, which may include also the lapse of awareness regarding Kodesh and Mikdash. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva both disagreed, and they said that no, it's only for a halama of Tumah. If a person knew he became Tameh, forgot that he's Tameh, goes into the Mikdash or eats Kodesh, and then he remembers he was Tameh, then he's going to be Chayav Karban Oil B'Yerid. But if he forgot that this was the base of Mikdash, or that this was something that's Kachim, but he all along remembered that he was Tameh, for that he's not going to be Chayav Karban Oil B'Yerid. On that, the Gemara asked, so then what's the practical difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva that they're saying different opinions? On that said, Chizkiya, he said that the difference is regarding to know the source of the Tumah. Rabbi Eliezer said it learns out from the pasuk of Hasheretz v'Nelamim, and you have to know what is the source of the Tumah. Was it from Sheretz or was it from Nevela? Rabbi Akiva learns out from the pasuk of V'Nelamim and Nevuhu Tameh, you just have to know that you're Tameh. You don't have to know the source, and it's that case that's just going to be a difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. That the Gemara continues with another answer. Rabbi Yechonam, he disagrees. He says, "Mashmas derushin ekibinayu." The difference between them is this: the understanding of the extrapolation of this halacha from the Torah. But essentially, you're right. They both hold the same thing. They both hold that halamas tumah is going to be the chiyuv for karban oil v'yerid regarding tumah of mikdash and kodesh, and not kodesh and mikdash. So therefore, that's where they both hold the same halacha. They just learn that from different sukkim. Rav Shesha said that Mashmas Darshan Nikamanayu, the difference between them is just the understanding of how we extrapolate it from the Torah. And moreover, to prove this, says the Gemara of Rav Sheshes, Machlev Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, or Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer. Sometimes when he was teaching our Mishnah, he would switch the attribution of the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer to Rabbi Akiva, and he wasn't particular about it because there's no difference in halacha between Chayiv and Pater, between the two cases, meaning between the two different opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, because they both hold the same thing. Although Rabbi Eliezer uses one pasuk of Sheretz, and Rabbi Akiva uses a pasuk of Tameh, but they're both saying the same thing according to this interpretation of Rabbi Yechonah. Now, continue on this halacha of the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, Ba'yimine Ravim Rav Nachman. Rav asked him, Rav Nachman, let's say Helim Zev Zeb Yadai. Let's say this person, he knew that he became Tameh, and he knew that this is the base of Mikdash. But then, he both forgot that he's Tameh and that this is the Mikdash. No, what's the halacha according to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva in that case, who they say that generally a person is exempt for forgetting that this is the Mikdash, and you're only chayiv for forgetting that you're Tameh? What's the halacha if you forget both of them, and then you go in the state of Tameh to the base of Mikdash, and then you remember both of them? So Amalei, Sir Rav Nachman said to Rava, well, Harei Helim Tameh B'Yad V'Chayim. Well, he knew about Tumah, he forgot his Tumah, and then he remembered his Tumah. So then you're Chayim, that's the Karban Oil B'Yerid. So on that, out of that aspect, Rava, no, Adrabah, to the contrary, I could tell you, Harei Helim Mikdash B'Yadai. He knew this was the Mikdash, he forgot it's the Mikdash, and then he remembered. That case we said, Upatri is exempt. We said you're only Chayim for Halamas of Tumah. But here he forgot the Mikdash, so therefore he should be Patr. So Amar Vashi, Vashi says, look, Chazina, let's see. I could tell you what it is that this guy was the primary forgetting and remembering, which will tell us what was the primary, which Helim Tumah Yechayim and Helim Mikdash Yepater. He says, Imit Tumah Kaparish, if he's separating himself because of Tumah. In other words, if he was notified that, hey, you're in the base of Mikdash, you're Tameh. And then he separated himself from sinning by being in the base of Mikdash in the state of Tumah, because they said that you're Tameh. Sahari Helim Tumah B'Yadi. That would be a situation which retroactively revealed that the reason why primarily he came into the Mikdash was because he forgot that he's Tameh. And then the Chayiv is going to be Chayiv. But Ime Mikdash Kaparish, but if he's separating because it's the temple, in other words, they tell him, hey, this is the base of Mikdash. And because of that, he regrets having come in because they didn't remind him that he's Tameh. They just reminded him that it's the base of Mikdash. So that's retroactively revealing that the primary reason why he entered into the Beis HaMikdash by mistake was because he forgot that it's the Mikdash. Well, Pater, then he's going to be Pater, because the primary Halama then was the Mikdash, and for that, you're Pater. On that, I'm like Ravina Ravash. Ravina asked Ravash, he says, wait a second, that doesn't make sense. Klum parish mi Mikdash elim shem tumah? Why would a person leave the temple and they say, hey, it's the Beis HaMikdash? Well, why would he leave? Obviously, because he knows that he's remembering that he's Tameh. And Klum Parish Mitoma El Mishim Mikdash, if he tells him that he's Tameh, well, why would he leave? Unless that he's recalling this is the Mikdash. In other words, In other words, what he's trying to say is when the person notified any one of them, it's because he's obviously reflecting and saying, okay, therefore what? And then he remembers, oh, there's the other variable. But essentially, it doesn't prove anything. When they tell him Mikdash or they tell him Tumah and then he leaves, that won't show it's because of that variable. He must be remembering the other variable too. And therefore, both of them are still going to be both Helam, Shneim, Biyadai, and it still doesn't answer the question. El Leishna, rather, there's no difference. And therefore, since it's not obvious that what it's from Helam Tumah, he's going to be Pater when it's Helam Tumah and Mikdash Biyadai. Tanaban, Linda Braisa, a related halacha to this halacha. Shnei Shevilin, if there's two paths on a road, Echad Tamei, one path is Tamei, meaning there's on that path a dead person was buried where it's impossible to walk on that path without leaning over by being an oil over that dead person, which makes the person Tamei, that's walking on that road. Echad Tar, on one path is Tar, there's no dead person that buried it. Now, Mahalach Berishan, then this person goes on the first path, but he doesn't know if this path is the one that's Tamei or Tar, but he goes on one of the paths. And he does not yet enter to the base of Mikdash. And then, however, in the interim, he goes back and he goes on Bisheni. He goes on the second path. And he knows he went on both paths. So he's definitely Tamei. Doesn't know from which path, but he's definitely Tamei now from both paths. V'nichnes, and then he enters into the base of Mikdash with the lapse of awareness of his Tumah, meaning he forgets that he was Tamei. He knows for sure he's Tamei. I don't know which road, but I went on both of these roads and one of them has the dead person. And then he goes into the base of Mikdash. So that says the price of Chayav says the Tanakama, he's going to be Chayav a carbon el b'yarid because most definitely he knew initially that it was Tamei, and then he forgot, and then he remembers. That's the classic halacha of carbon el b'yarid. But a different case. Halach Berishon. Let's say he goes on the first path. Now, he knows that he's maybe Tamei, because he doesn't know which path is which, but he knows he might be Tamei. Then v'nichnas, then he goes into the base of Mikdash, forgetting that he might be Tamei, because he forgot that he went on that first path. Then he was like, oh, wait a second, I went on that path, I might have been Tamei. So he waits the 7 days of purity, which on day three he sprays himself with the ashes of the Paraduma, and Bishanah, then he repeats it again on day seven. And Metavel, then after that 7 days, he immerses himself. So he purifies himself from the possible Tamei he had from that first path. And then, after he purified himself, he went on the second path. Now again he knows that he might be Tamei, because it might really be the Tamei in the second path. V'nichnes, and again he goes into the base of Mikdash, forgetting again that he might be Tamei, says the Tanakama, Chayiv is going to Chayiv. Meaning, Simichayiv a carbon oil of Yair, because either the first time he went into the base of Mikdash from the first path, or because the second time he goes into the base of Mikdash because of the second path. But either way you look at it, either from the first time coming in or the second time he coming in, he was Tamei. And with a Yediyah and Halama and Yediyah, and there was Mechayiv a carbon oil of the yard. However, Reb Shimon paid, Reb Shimon exempts, because here, by either one of them, there never ever was a definite Yediyah beforehand. Because even the knowledge after the second path, and then he forgot and went into the Beis HaMikdash, it was still a Yediyah Sveika, it was still an unknown Yediyah, because he had already purified himself from the first path that he went into, if the first path was Tamei. So since you never have a definite yediyah, and even though then you forget, and then you remember that you might have been Tamei, since you never had a definite yediyah, you're not going to have a carbon oil of yared, even in this, meaning in the second case. Now, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, paiter bikulon mishum Reb Shimon. He exempts, and he says, although the Tanakhama quotes Reb Shimon as saying that you're pater only in the second case that he described, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda quotes Reb Shimon as saying even the first case the Tanakhama described, and the Gemara later on is going to explain how that's possible. Even in that case, Reb Shimon would say that he's going to be exempt from a chayiv carbon oil v'yared, even if he went in both paths and only then went into the Beis HaMikdash, which the Gemara asked. But kulon, is Reb Shimon and Yehuda saying that Reb Shimon exempts by all of them? As the Gemara continues in the Beis, are you saying v'afilu b'kamaisi, even by the first case of Tanakhama described? But that's difficult. Memanav shach, what is it that you want? Either way that you look at it, before this guy goes into the Beis HaMikdash, Tamehu, he most definitely is a definite Tumah, and that is he knows for sure that he initially became Tamei, because one of the two roads, which he went on both of them, has Tumah. So how could Reb Shimon, according to Reb Shimon Yehuda, say that there's no Chiv Kabban al-Biyad over there? So Amar Rava, Rava says, what are we talking about over here in the first case? Is Kegayin Shehalach Berishon. He goes in the first path. Now, as we said, that's only a partial awareness. Even though I know I went in this path, but there might not have been Tumah over there. Moreover, although he goes in the second path before he goes into the Beis Hamikdash, but ubishash shahalach b'sheni, but when he went onto the second path, shachach shahalach b'rishin, he already forgot that he went on the first path. The havile miktzas yediyah, that makes his awareness of going the second path only a partial awareness. Because if he remembered he went onto both paths, I know I'm tummy, it's a definite yediyah. But he doesn't remember he went on the, when he went on the first path, he was only on the first path. When he went on the second path, he forgot he went on the first path, which is only a partial yediyah. Well, behold, kemiflegin, that's the machlokes between the Tanakam and Reb Shimon Yehuda in the opinion of Reb Shimon, regarding if Reb Shimon disagrees also in the first case. And that is Tanakama, the Tanakama according to Reb Shimon, who says that when did Reb Shimon say you're exempt? Is only if he had gone the first path, gone into the Mikdash, then sprayed himself and repeated himself and purified himself, and then went in to the second road and then went in, that's Reb Shimon says you're going to be exempt. But it does not exempt in the first case, because Savar, he holds in Reb Shimon, that since definitely the sky is Tamei, even though he is not aware of all the variables, that it should be considered a definite Yediyah, it's just a doubtful Yediyah, but it's still better than the second case of when he had a Yediyah Safik of when he went the first path, went the Beis HaMikdash, purified himself, and then went in the second time, because there, even if he knows everything, even so, it's still a suffix. Because by the time he goes in the second one, he's ready to purify himself in the first one. That's where Reb Shimon says you can be pater. But in this case, if this person would know all the variables, it would be a definite yediyah, because he would know for sure his tummy, he went on both paths. So therefore, the Tanakhama holds, that's not a yediyah suffix. Rather, it's a yediyah vadai that he knows part of that. So, that partial yediyah that Tanakhama holds, Amrina mixes yediyah kakol yediyah. We say that a partial yediyah is considered a whole yediyah. And therefore his awareness of going the second path is like he knows that he's definitely Tamei, which then when he has Dalama and he goes into the Mikdash and then he remembers, it's Chayv HaKarban El Biyard. But Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, according to Reb Shimon, he holds Lo Amrina mixes yediyah. No, we do not say a partial definite yediyah is kakol yediyah. It's like a whole awareness. Ultimately, he's not aware of the whole thing. And therefore, he holds that even in the first case, Reb Shimon would hold that you're going to be potter from a Karban El Biyard. You have to know definitely regarding the entirety of the yediyah to be chayv if you forget and then you remember. Now, the Braisa had said, Halach Berishon v'nichnas. If he went into the first path, and then he went, which is the first case we described, and then he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, then he's a Vishana Metavel, then he went and he sprayed himself, and the second time on day 7, and then he immersed himself, he purified himself in that first possible Tumah. And then Chazam Halach B'Sheni V'Nichnas, then he went on the second path, and then went into the Beis HaMikdash. Tanakama holds, you're going to be Chayiv, but, and the Tanakama holds, Reb Shimon Paiter, which we said Reb Shimon Yehuda disagrees, but the Tanakama holds, Reb Shimon says that in that case, you're going to be Pater. Now, the Gemara asks, according to the Tanakama, Va'amai Chayev, why in that case is the person going to be liable for Karban El Biyard, but Safik Yediyahu? It's only a doubtful awareness of Tumah. When he goes into the second path, and then into the Beis HaMikdash, yeah, the way we explained it was, either way, the guy's going to be Chayev, but he never had a definite Yediyah. You have to have Yediyah Halom Yediyah. He never had, even by the second time around, a Yediyah, because it's only a Safik Yediyah. I don't know if I'm Tummy right now. The first time I also didn't know if I'm Tummy. So that's not considered, I know I'm Tummy, I'm forgetting and then remembering. I don't know if I'm Tummy. Because he already purified himself in the first time. So why is it Chayav Karban El Biyard? So Amar B'Yechin, and it says, Kan also Safik Yediyah Ki Yediyah, regarding the halachas of Karban El Biyard, we made a doubtful Yediyah, as I will later explain why that would be, like a whole awareness. And therefore, yes, you're going to be Chayav as if you had a Yediyah, Halama, and Yediyah. That's according to Tanakama. Rish Lakish, he gives a different answer. He says, no, Hamani, who is the Tanakama? But this Braisa, Rabbi Shmuelhi. The one that he says, who quoted him in Mishnah Daf Yudal Mabeis, Lebein in Yedi B'Tchil, he holds for these halachas of Yedi Satama. You only have to have Yedi B'Saif. You don't need Yedi B'Tchil. He disagrees in this whole concept of needing Yedi, Halom and Yedi. So therefore, yeah, although there's no Yedi beforehand, he holds it, you're going to be Chayiv. Because ultimately, you know at the end, that for sure you would tell me, and therefore, it's not a difficulty. However, says the Gemara, V'ramid Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan, V'ramid Rish Lakish, Ad Rish Lakish. It seems to be a contradiction in the opinions of Rabbi Yechanan Rish Lakish from a different source. Why? The Tanakh learned the Braisa. The Braisa says the following halacha. Achal Safik Chelev, someone eats a piece that might have been forbidden fats, might have been kosher fats, not sure. v'naida, and then he becomes aware at a later point in time that what he ate might have been chaylev, which once he's aware of that, if he knew that he ate chaylev afterwards, he has to bring karban chatas. If he becomes aware that he ate something that might have been chaylev, he has to bring an asham tali, which is a karban asham for a doubtful issa that a person might have done. And then the person again, he went and he ate safik chaylev, he ate a piece of fat which might have been forbidden fats. V'nai, then again he's notified, he becomes aware that he ate something that might have been chaylev. So Rabbi Yaim, he says the following statement. He says, "Kishem shemevi chatas al kol echad v'yechad," just like a person brings a karban chatas for every single forbidden piece of fats that he eats, which later on the Gemara is going to explain in this statement of Rabbi Machlokes Rabbi Yechon Shlakish, what is that exactly, how do you translate his words, which is going to what's contradicting the previous Machlokes Rabbi Yechon Shlakish. But simply translated, Rabbi says, just like by karban chatas, when a person does a regular and they remember, he notified that he did an avera, he's chayv for every single piece of eating forbidden fat separately. Kach maybe ashim toli al kol echav echad. So too, here you're going to bring a separate ashim toli for every time you notified afterwards that what you ate might have been forbidden fats. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Reb Elazar ben Shimon, Amar Reb Shimon, that no. Ein maybe ela ashim toli echad. You're only going to bring one ashim toli for all these situations when a person found out that what he ate might have been forbidden fats. And then later on, again, that same thing happens, and again that happens, you're only going to bring one Ashram Tali. Kishanem, like it says, the Pasuk in Meyikr, in the context of the parish of Ashram Tali, it says, Ashagagasi Ashashagag. What's the redundancy? For his error which he had erred, is that a Torah rips a Shagag is hard, but the Torah is including many mistakes of Ashram Tali, which is a mistake that might have been an Isser, which is V'Ashram Tali Echad, and to bring only one carbon Ashram Tali. That's the machlik is Rebbe and Reb Shimon. Now, says the Gemara of Amar Shlakish, he said that Kan Shana Rebbe, here in this Breiser, Rebbe has taught us the following halacha. Yidiyos sveikos mischalkos lechatois. That doubtful awarenesses that are in doubt, meaning when he's aware of something that might be, that separates for the liabilities of separate karbonos of chatas. Because according to Shlakish, this is what Rebbe was saying. Just like if a person became aware later on that what he ate was forbidden fats, he's going to bring a karma chatas for every single forbidden fats that he ate. Meaning, because the awareness that he had initially had between the different acts of eating these forbidden fats, which initially when he was aware in between was doubtful yidis. He wasn't even sure that what he ate was chaylev or not. Now, that's going to separate when he ultimately finds out that all those times were really forbidden fats, that he's going to mechayev karma chatas in every single one of them individually, and that it's not considered like as if you ate two olive sizes of chaylev in one lapse of awareness to be chayev only one, rather you mechayev in each one. So too, the same thing is, as long as you don't know that they're for sure chaylev, rather you have a doubt if they're chaylev, you're going to be an ashram tala in every single one. But one thing, says Rish Lakish, what you see from what Rebbe is saying, is that you're going to bring a karma chatas for each one, obviously because he holds yediyah safik, the awareness, although doubtful awarenesses, between each one, separated to different acts, to be chayev a karma chatas in each one, when you find out that it was definitely chaylev. Now, Rabbi Yechon Amar, he says that no, that's not what Rabbi's saying. Rather, this is where you have to translate his words. Kesheim, just like regarding karbanes chatas, when you bring for something that you find out that for sure you had sinned, sheyedios vadai, where when you have definite awarenesses between the different acts, be alma in generally, mischalkas lachatois, that separates each act for a separate karban chatas. Kach, so too regarding Ashram Toli, which comes for doubtful awarenesses, because that's the whole concept of Ashram Toli, there also, in its context, Yedi is Safik, when there's a doubtful Yedi in between, which is the whole liability of Ashram Toli, is Mischalkis, Lashamis, it separates for Kaman Ashram. In other words, but it doesn't hold that a Yedi is Safik will be Mechalik and Chatas. He's just showing you, just like Chatas, which is for a definite Yedi of Isser. The definite yediyas between the different acts will separate for each one being chayav separate karma chatas. So to Ashram Tali, which is for a yediyah of safik, each yediyah of safik will separate each act to be chayav separate karma Ashram Tali. In contrast to Reb Shimon, who disagreed with him and said that no, each for all of them together, only may chayav one karma Ashram Tali. That's a machlekes Reb Yechon and Shlakish in the opinion of Rabbi. But one thing is, as we'll illustrate it in the contradiction of Reb Yechon's opinion, is that Reb Yechon had previously said that asu safik yediyah ki yediyah. A doubtful yediyah is like yediyah. Yet here we see clearly that he's saying that a yediyah of suffik is not a yediyah. By Karma Chatas, we find that he says you have to have a definite yediyah. Not like Rish Lakish, who says a yediyah suffik is yediyah, which that contradicts him. So why didn't he say like Rabbi Yechanan? Why did he say that it's like Rish Shmuel, who doesn't need a yediyah? So the Gemara answers the contradiction. It says, Bishlim Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan Kasha, we could resolve the contradiction with Rabbi Yechanan, and that is, does he hold suffik yediyah is a yediyah, or is it not a yediyah? That's not difficult. Khan, also the previous statement of Rabbi Yechanan we brought on the top of the Amid, that says by carbon oil of Yairid that they made a suffik yediyah like a yediyah. That's in the context of oil of Yairid. But not, let's say, in the halacha that we're quoting now over here in the statement of Rebbe, like by Karban Chatas, in regards to the whole entire Torah, we did not make a suffik yediyah like yediyah, as the Gemara explains. Here in the halacha of Karban Eilu B'Yared, which is what the previous teaching of Rabbi Yechanan in the opinion of the Tanakama was, regarding that, what do you mean, the person only has a suffik yediyah. He went the first path, then went to Beis HaMikdash, he made himself tahar, the second path, and then went to Beis HaMikdash. Why Tanakam Ol Yukim Michayev? Each one's only suffik yediyah. That's in the halachas of Karban Eilu B'Yared. Why? Because it doesn't say anywhere that you have to have a yediyah. Mevenelem hu dekasi. It's actually learned out from the word venelem. Lapse of awareness? What do you mean lapse of awareness? That means you knew, then you forgot, then you knew? So, therefore, since only learned that from venelem, as long as not venelem that you totally don't know, which infers that as long as you have somewhat of yediyah, even a suffik yediyah. That's what Rabbi Yechanan said before, in the opinion of the Tanakhama, that suffik yediyah would be like yediyah. But v'loy b'chal Torah kula also, but they didn't do this for the whole entire Torah. Dechsev, like by Karma Chatzis, which is what this statement of Rebbe that they're talking about, of Keshem Shemei v'chatzis akol echad v'echad, oihoy de'elov. The Torah says to be chayv Karma Chatzis, or a person becomes aware of something that he had sinned, which is what a shkog is, you don't know and then you become aware that the person did the sin, yediyah mal yosab, and you need a full-fledged yediyah. And that's what Rabbi Yechanan said in the statement of Rebbe, that no, to make a chiluk of chatois, you need to have a yediyah shlema of adois, and not a yediyah suffik. Therefore, that's not a contradiction of Rabbi Yechanan. But El Rish Lakish of the Gemara asked, and here it clarifies the contradiction of Rish Lakish, Ademukim la kerebi Yishmol, instead of saying the previous price of the Tanakama, which was difficult, we said, with the yediyah of adai betchilo, in the case of when he went in the two paths, he said, oh, you're right, there's no yediyah there. It's going like Rabbi Shmuel holds, you don't need to have yediyah. Why did he do that? Nukma Karebi, why was he contriving to say that the Tana of the Braisa holds that you don't need to have yediyah at all in the beginning like Rabbi Shmuel? Maybe you could say that the Tana Kama holds you do need a yediyah. But he holds like Rebbe, who Rabbi Shmuel himself is saying that Rish Lakish himself is saying that a suffik yediyah is like yediyah, like he's saying over here. That's the contradiction in Rish Lakish. That's the Gemara. No, that's not contradiction. That you're right. He could have said it's like Rebbe. But Hakamash Malan, this is what Rish Lakish is teaching us by saying that the time of the Brace is Rabbi Shmuel, to Rabbi Shmuel, loy boy, yediyah b'tchila. By through that, you're right, it could have been Rabbi. But he wanted to say it could be Rabbi Shmuel because here is where he would tell us, to Rabbi Shmuel, you don't need to have yediyah in the beginning. Well, that is the Gemara. Pshita loy boy. What do you mean? That's what Rish Lakish is teaching us? He's elucidating the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel? We know, of course, he doesn't need to have yediyah b'tchila. From the fact that he does not have the superfluous pasuk, because he expounds in the Mishnah Vidalma Beis that the word venelem, which is the source of yediyah b'tchila, he expounds it for something else. The mechayev al helam mikdash, he learns out the word venelem is an extra word to teach you that not only you chayev for helam tumah, but you also chayev for helam mikdash. So obviously he does not know it for yediyah b'tchila. Why would Rish Lakish have to be teaching us that by saying that he's a tana this brisa that holds you don't need to have yediyah b'tchila? So the Gemara, no, Ma'av Detim, what would you say? Ki lesle, when does Rabbi Shmuel not have yediyah b'tchila? Mikroi, from the pasuk, because he learns venelem for something else. Avol migemara isle, but from a tradition, from Aloch l'mishmasine, we would say that maybe he holds that you do need to have yediyah b'tchila. Kamash Malan, that's what Rish Lakish was teaching, that Rabbi Shmuel holds that, no, you don't need to have yediyah mitchila, and that's what he gains by saying that's Rabbi Shmuel. But you're right, he could have just as easily said it's Rabbi, as he says over here in the second statement, that he holds that a suffik yediyah is like yediyah, which would be valid in that Tanakama of the previous braisa. Hanulach yediyah satumah, shall return to you in the second parak of Masechet Shavuos, parak yediyah satumah. And with that, we begin the third parak in this Masechet of Shavuos, which is, we get back to the primary topic of this Masechet, which is what we opened up in the first mission in the Masechet of Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba, that the halacha of oaths are two, which are in essence four. which then we went through the list of different things that are Shtem Shanar, but which then we clarified in the first two Parakim Tumah, because that's less than the rest of the Masechta, which are the rest of the Parakim discussing these halachas of Shavuos, which are two that are four, which in referring to the Shavuos of Bitui, which if a person makes an oath, which is a binding to his statement that he's saying, which they are, first of all, Shavuos Oichel. If a person takes an oath that he's going to eat something, or if he takes the oath v'shaloi oichel that he's not going to eat something, those are the two oaths that are what's called the shtayim. We'll say what the shehen arba, which are the two extra ones, are the two that are written in the Torah explicitly. Like it says in Mayikra Hei, if a person takes an oath lahara oy lahetiv, to do bad or to do good, which sounds like future tense, which if he says I'm not going to eat, that's bad. And he says I am going to eat, that's to do good. Then you have, if he swears, she'achalti, I swear that I did eat, or v'shaloi achalti, or that I did not eat, those are the two, what's called shtehen arba, that are really four, which are adding two more from the drusha of the chachamim, as Rabbi Kiva learns later on the perek of chafayim and alf, from a ribui in the pasuk, that's the two extra ones which are also in the past. Now, continues the Mishnah, let's say someone says, shvur shaloi eichel, which is one of those in, written in the Torah, someone says, I take an oath that I'm not going to eat, v'achal kol shehu, and eats even a small minute amount, Chayiv is going to be liable for violating this oath, which is for this carbon of Shvur Shtayim Shen Arba. Div Rebbe Kiva, that's the opinion of Rebbe Kiva. On that, I'm the Rebbe Kiva, so they said to Rebbe Kiva, Heichem Metzinu Ba'ichel Kol Shuhu Shu Chayiv Shazeh Chayiv, where do we ever find the Torah that a person should be liable for an Isra of eating, less than the Kezayis, that here you're saying he's going to be Chayiv even for eating just a minute amount? Rebbe Kiva said to them, what? V'chi Heichem Metzinu Be'medabu, maybe the carbon says, but where do you ever find that a person could talk and then have to bring a carbon because of just words that he made? Here, there's a kosher piece of meat, but he swore he's not going to eat it, and then he eats it, that he's chayav a carbon. Shazem adab may be carbon, where this guy speaks and he's chayav a carbon because just of nullifying his words. And since, says Rabbi Kiva, that his liability is for nullifying his words, this is also nullifying his words, because when someone says, I'm not going to eat, his intention is nothing at all, not even a minute amount. So although generally regarding like an Isra of Nevela or whatever it is, it's a share of Kezias, of an olive, here he says that I'm not going to eat, and that's the Isra that he's violating, is not eating, that's even going to be kosher, even a minute amount. Now the Gemara asks on the clarification of Diktuk in the words of our Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that one of the cases is, if he swears I'm going to eat. So that's what the Mishnah says, that if he eats, then he's going to be chayv. So the Gemara says, "Lamemer the shayichah." That to say, when someone says that I'm going to eat, dachil no mashman sounds like that he's swearing that he's going to eat, which then he violates if he eats. But vermina, that seems to be contradicted from the following brayso, where if someone says one of these three different terminologies, it's forbidden for him to eat from that person that he's taking a vow from, because each one of them sounds like that he's swearing he's not going to eat from that person. What are these three different statements? Shvu loy oichalach. Someone swears, I swear that. There's an oath on me that I'm not going to eat from you. Or shvua sha'oichalach, that is an oath that would sound like sha'oichalach, that I will eat from you. But no, the Brisa says, there's an issa shvua on me from what I should eat from you, because that's how it's being read. That what I'm going to eat from you is on me by an issa shvua. So shvua sha'oichalach, there's an issa shvua on me from what I'm going to eat from you. Which that's the question that the Gemara is going to ask him. It sounds like that the shvua is not to eat. Not like we're reading in our Mishnah, shvua sha'eichel means a shvua that I'm going to eat. The third case is, loy shvua shaloy eichelach. No oath that I will not eat from you. Meaning, that there's a, it should not be on me, an issa shvua, what I don't eat from you. Which the inference is, but what I do eat from you, will have an issa shvua on me. So those are the three cases, says the Braisa, that's us, that's forbidden to eat from that person. So one thing you see is that sha'eichel is an oath not to eat. Yet we're saying in our Mishnah means yes to eat. So Abaye says no. La'olam de'achil namash. But truthfully, as we said in our Mishnah, the word sha'eichel says that I will eat. But like Kash, it's not difficult from the Braisa, because Khan in the Braisa is b'mesarvim b'ylechel. When someone's pushing him, pressing him, eat. Please come to me. Eat by me. Khan, our Mishnah is told my b'she'ein as we continue to have b'chof malv mesarvim b'ylechel. Well, no one's pushing him to eat, as the Gemara explains. Masnitin b'she'ein mesarvim b'ylechel. Our Mishnah is told my when no one's pushing him to eat. Therefore, when he says, I take a shvua sha'ichel that I will eat, it means that I will eat. Braisa b'mesarvim b'ylechel, the case of the Braisa is when someone's pushing someone to eat by him. And then it says, he says one of these three different terminologies. That's where the ka'amar lo'yachil nebo'yachil, he's saying, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to eat, stop pressing me. Techiko mishtabeya, that when he takes an oath, this is what he's saying. Shvua sha'lo'yachil, although he's saying shvua sha'ichelach, Since we understand in the concept, in the context that he's saying, I'm not gonna, you know what? I take an oath, sha'aychalach. So although when no one's pressing him, it means I will eat. But here in the context, the way we translate what he's saying is, shvua shaloi oichal, that I take an oath. And as we said, that what does that mean? Even though shvua shaloichalach, it means that there's an isha shvua on me, what I will eat from you. That's the difference between our Mishnah and the Braisa. Rav Hashem, he gives a different approach. He says, Tani, you have to read into the words of the Braisa, the case of shvua shaloichalach is not those words. Because yeah, shaloichalach means that I will eat, not I won't eat. Rather, read it, shvua shi'i oichalach, that I swear that I will not eat from you. So the Gemara says, Ihachim al Memer, if that's the case of the Braisa, what's the Chiddush to say that, of course, Shvur Shi'i Oichalach, that I will not eat from you, means I will not eat from you. Says the Gemara, Ma'adat him, because what would you say? Lishnei de Iskalale. No, he actually just stumbled on his words. He didn't mean to say She'i. When someone's saying Shvur Shi'oichalach, he said Shvur Shi'i Shi'oichalach could sound like She'i, if he pauses, She'i Oichalach. But he didn't really mean to say Shi'i Oichalach, as the Rishayim explained, because that's not such a common way of saying. You would say Shaloi Oichalach. Saying Shi'i Oichalach sounds like you meant to say She'oichalach, but you say Shi'i Oichalach. Mashallah, that's the Chiddush of the price. If you said Shvua Shi'i Oichalach, it is saying that I will not eat from you, and therefore the guy is going to be taking a neder Shvua, forbidding himself to eat by that other person, but that doesn't contradict the Mishnah, which is not Shi'i, but rather She'oichalach. Well, yeah, She'oichalach means that as oath that I will eat.